I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, good, thanks. Okay to speak for a few minutes?
Yeah, I'm good now, thanks.
Yeah. All right, good. So listen, I've got an update. And the update is that it's just not possible for us to move ahead if the individual is unable to come to the office 3 days a week, right? And the reasons for that are that's just the standard global policy that we've got. And we need individuals in the office, but more so for the team that you've interviewed for. They deal with hardware, unreleased hardware, makes it impossible for someone to have that at home. It is literally they're in a lockdown area, and there are, limited access in terms of who can actually go into that section of the office, and they deal with a lot of hardware given the type of work that they do. So for that reason, we try to find a solution, but it's just not going to be possible, I'm afraid, unless you're able to go to the office 3 days a week.
It's okay. I mean, I have spoke to like my family and some like medical people. Is it possible that there's any kind of leeway on like just like initially, like while I'm in what you know while I'm still in like more of a recovery phase, could I come down for induction and then maybe do like one day a week if that's possibly if I can get down with some sort of support, would that be possible in the meantime until I can do like more like a consistent 3 days a week?
Yeah, look, we discussed that option, right? And it just makes it impossible because you won't be able to do your job unless you're in the office. It's not one of those roles where you simply can just be behind a computer and software. You're dealing with, like I said, we can't go into the details until you're disclosed. You're dealing with unreleased hardware.
No, I've been told
Some
a
of the
bit
team
about it
members actually come
already.
in 5 days a week, to put into perspective. So it, especially as you're starting out, it's just not going to be possible. Like, it makes zero sense. And the there's a lot of hoo-ha about this product. So it's not a case of that they can afford to kind of maybe not have someone there 50% of the time and the production be down and so on. It literally hit the ground running as soon as possible. And I appreciate the position that you're in, right? But equally, I think it would be unfair on both sides, us and you, to kind of say that and then commit to a timeline to get you back in, right? Where at this stage, I think, I don't know, you have your reasons, but you're unable to give that commitment in terms of what those timelines look like.
And it's not
But as
really
I
about
said,
commitment.
yeah.
I wouldn't frame it like that. It's that obviously I feel like I've fully committed to. In fact, like these past 2 months have been very very hard for me. And actually navigating this interview process, it's taken up a large chunk of my energy basically. So to get through to the final round and basically be told yesterday that I was going to be getting an offer basically, and now for it to be like basically pulled because of issues out of my control, it's pretty heartbreaking considering that, these are issues that like I have by no choice of my own, if that makes sense.
Again, I completely understand that, Niall, right? And we're not making the decision because of the any of the medical reasons. What we're saying is that we need someone to come to the office 3 days a week
Yeah,
for this role,
but my
right?
problem is that my
And it was
medical.
advertised as coming into the office, and during your interviews, including Ahmed, other people did mention that this is an office-based role, right? And nowhere in the interview process were we told by you that you wouldn't be able to come to the office. Had we had, we wouldn't have gone ahead with the interviews,
Okay,
right? We would have
well.
just said, hey, unless you're able to commit to this, coming into the office, which is what we need for this role, we're unable to move ahead. And that's not because of, it could be for whatever reason that you have, right? So the reasoning that you're giving, although I appreciate and I understand and I'm empathetic to your situation, that's not the reason why we're not moving ahead. That's absolutely not the reason why we're not moving ahead. It is the fact that we need someone to be in the office from the get-go, 3 days a
I
week minimum.
understand, but like, I think it's like we need to be like bear in mind that the reason I can't come to the office is directly related to my disability. It's not like I have a disability and I can't come to the office. Like obviously, I want to be in London more than anything, and that's my problem, really.
I understand that, Niall, and I sympathise again with you. But what I'm saying is that it makes you, like, it doesn't. You won't be able to do the job that we need you to do, unless you're in the office because of the type of role that you're going to be doing. Do you see what I mean, right? So there is it's not just a case that we're unwilling to do that. There is a physical element to it that we need the individuals to be in the office because of what they'll be working on.
How are other people on my team? Because I mean, I've spoke to 10 people and 9 out of 10 of them are working from home. I'm just curious, when they are at home on those 3 days or 2 days, like how do they deal with that then, you know? Or how do they deal with it when they're off for 4 weeks from working remote? Like, you know, because, you know...
Sorry, Niall, I think, look, I get your frustration, right? But
I'm not frustrated. I'm just asking the question.
And are up to speed in terms of what they're working on. And there are occasions where they're not in the office, whether they be on holiday, whether they're doing their full remote work or so on, so be. But to start off without being in the office, right, it's not something that they're going to sign off on.
Okay, well, I understand.
If we changed our mind and said, hey, yeah, you can do this, and now you can't. But we've never said that this is going to be a role where, at the beginning, we can't commit to having you in the office.
No, I understand the role was listed for London. And, you know, when I applied back in February originally, I mean, I was contacted about this job. I didn't apply for this one directly. But, you know, I thought, you know, I'd be in a position to be in London, given the progress that was being made. But obviously, you know, I can commit to coming down some days with support, but, you know, I just can't commit to, you know, I can't make promises it's going to be 3 days because there's just no consistency with these types of conditions. I mean, my question to you, like, and obviously this isn't me being hostile or anything. I'm just curious that, like, you know, is Apple aware of the Equality Act and, like, the type of reasonable adjustments that like have to be made for people? Because I understand there's a blanket statement coming from, you know, the C-levels in America that says, you know, 3 day mandate is what's needed. But if that negatively affects people with protected characteristics, then technically that's against the Equality Act. And, you know, I just...
We're not making that. We've not even extended an offer to you, do not.
But right. You literally said yesterday that I had an offer coming up.
No, I didn't say you had an offer coming up. I said we're discussing it to make a decision on your offer. And then you informed me that you're unable to come to the office. So what we went and said, hey, listen, we have an individual that we're close to making an offer on. However, the individual is unable to come to the office for those 3 days a week. Right? Mm. For whatever reason. The reasoning doesn't matter, almost, right? Because we need the individuals to come to the office 3 days a week. Based on that, right, the requirement being that we do need individuals to be in the office to do the role, no one's discussing, you know, why you can't come to the office and so on. It's just we need that to be 3 days in the office because of the role, because of the team that you're working on. Although I sympathize with your situation, you've been very upfront with us, right, and I appreciate that. And I'm genuinely trying to help you here and try and find a solution, but it's just not going to work. Right. Even if we did go to it, we haven't made that decision yet. Right. So I'm just being honest. It's to say, regardless of whether it's going to be positive or negative, we need the individual to be in the office. What I did also say to you yesterday was that this doesn't necessarily have to be the end of the road. Right. So moving forwards, when you are able to commit to those timelines and it does work out for whatever role, it might be different teams that you apply to will have a different set of challenges and so on, right, or have more flexibility, then that doesn't burn your bridges with Apple, if you see what I mean, right? So it's
just going through all this process again. And I just want to ask, because...
You know, again, Niall, I want to be just very clear, right? Did you mention this to us earlier in the process?
Okay, I mentioned from day zero that I had autism and that I would need accommodations to Vivian. That's on email. I've got a record of that.
I understand that, but did you say you're not able to come to the office? Having needed an accommodation during the interview process, how will you accommodate the interview process for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if someone needed extra time, if someone needed a translator or a interpreter or sign language, we would sort all of that out, but at no stage... were we told, hey, I won't be potentially unable to come to the office?
Well, all the interviews were done remotely, so, you know, like, you know, they could obviously be done safely remotely. And, you know, I, like I said yesterday, you know, this is very sensitive information. I don't go around telling people the extent of my disability, you know, the fact that I can't leave the house often because, you know, first of all, I've no legal obligation to do so. But second of all, you know, it's not something I'm exactly proud of.
I want to make a very clear line. We are not the disability piece doesn't come into the decision making, right?
But that is directly related to my ability.
We say this to every candidate. You have to come into the office because this role requires you to physically be in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? It's nothing to do with your disability or you disclosing anything. We need individuals to come to the office.
Okay.
Right? And some of the information that you gave me yesterday, right, that hasn't been shared because it's almost, although I understand your point of view in terms of being relevant, but it's not in terms of the requirements of the role that we have is we need individuals to be in the office, right? Some other teams might say, hey, no, we'll be more flexible. Right, we deal with a different type of orientation. We can do that, but for this role, we need individuals to be in the office.
Okay, well, like I say, I understand that that you're trying to separate the disability from my lack of ability to come into the office. But like I say, it's like my lack of being able to come into the office is directly related to my conditions. That's what's preventing me. If I could jump on a train now and come down to London, I'd be there in a flash. But I just can't.
I also understand that, but we still haven't even extended an offer now.
Okay, but yesterday you said that you would tell me that there was an offer separately, and now it's just like a blanket.
I didn't tell you there was an offer separately. What I was telling you is that we're close to making an offer, right? And there are a lot of things that go into that offer. No offer has been communicated to you.
Yeah.
Right? No offer has been extended. No offer has been approved internally.
I've told you this, and this is why I disclosed it.
What I'm saying, which is why when we did those pre-calls, right, you're not the only person in the decision process. So when I had a call with you, I had other calls with other candidates in a similar position for the same role,
mm-hmm.
to kind of go through, the metrics of what we go through in terms of will they need a relocation, should we go to offer? Are they still okay to come to the office? Will they need a visa, for example? So we can look all the different types of timelines that we have for all the candidates, right? That when we do make that decision, that we go ahead with it. Now, or are they interested, right? So one of my first questions to you was, are you still interested in the role? Because if you're not interested, it doesn't matter whether we're going to give you an offer or not. It's, or whatever your situation is, it's annulled, right? So we still haven't made that decision, right? And what I'm saying to you is that one of the biggest things for this role is for individuals to be in the office.
Right?
So that's a precursor before any information that you give to us.
No, I feel, to be honest, that you are talking differently than what you were talking yesterday. It did seem, you basically said it was going to be today or tomorrow. And then obviously when I disclosed my situation.
So today or tomorrow to make a decision, Niles, come on. I'm generally trying to help you here, right? I'm not trying to go against you. I'm trying to be as honest and as upfront as you have been with us.
Like the people who make this decision about my inability, to take the role, like I feel like that they should know about my situation, rather than just.
That's not for me to disclose, right? Just literally, just as you've just said.
Yeah.
It's you're not under any obligation to disclose just said that, right?
But I have disclosed it now.
It's if you want to disclose that, right? Mm-hmm. It's your call. You disclose that, and if you want us to forward that, we will. But what I'm telling you is that we still need individuals to be in the office.
Okay, so who, what is the team? Do they have an email, this specific team that decides
you
this?
You can send it to us and I can forward it, but I think, we've not made a decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't mean to be a kind of a downer, and I know you're frustrated, right? I can feel it. But what I'm saying to you is that just remember two things. The door isn't still completely shut on Apple, mm-hmm. number one. The second thing is that we haven't extended an offer. So it's not a case of to say, hey, we're definitely going to extend an offer, right? Because mm-hmm. we haven't communicated that to you. We haven't gone back and said, hey, we definitely want to kind of do this as of yet. No final decision, no final approval has been made yet, right? Just because someone might say, hey, someone might be in the running for an offer doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to get one, right? So two things there. We haven't extended an offer that we're suddenly pulling back.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right? That's not the case here.
Just feel like
the
that.
Second... Sorry?
It does feel like that because yesterday you said, all the interviews have been very positive. There's no
red flags. The interviews have been positive, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get an offer. Come on, there's a lot of individuals in the process, right?
You said you were just waiting to hear from Norman and then you were going to call me back about. And then obviously I disclosed my situation and then everything changed.
Yes, but now that's also an important piece, right? You not being able to come to the office. That's something that we have to. We're not. We're extending an offer and your offer and your contract requires you to be in the office.
But the job is based on my ability, not my disability,
We're not accounting your disability. And part of
that's part of the problem.
Your job is to be about your ability to essentially to also to come into the workplace.
Okay. like.
But I'm trying to help, but I just feel like that I'm getting a lot back here. I'm just trying to generally trying to help you with your situation, but we do need individuals to be in the office.
Well, yeah, you know, I understand, and you know, I didn't mean this to come across hostile, but you know, like this, you know, can you imagine in your job, you know, being offered your position and then told, well, actually, because you were born with a condition that you had no choice over, sorry, that we just can't do it. You know, it's
that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the individuals that we require for this role, should we go to offer, right, is we need them to come into the office.
I mean, like, I understand that the logic can change the narrative to the fact that I wasn't going to be getting an offer or whatever, but, you know, like, I'm sad that, you know, you've changed the story so much in a day. It feels quite disingenuous, to be honest.
I haven't changed the story, right? The reason why I gave you a call was to pre-qualify certain conditions, some of that being whether you're still interested or not, the other being to make clear that you still have to come to the office.
And like I said, you know,
it didn't matter whether what reason you gave, like, hey, I'm unable to come to the office and I'm able to give you a kind of timeline when I'm able to do that, right? I have to essentially check whether that's going to be a possibility.
What if I can, like, do the first 2-3 weeks in the office, if I just pay for some crazy support company to help me, like, you know, and then could I, you know, just do one day and then until I can do more, you know, it just, like, I feel like there's got to be some leeway here, you know, like because if you're saying I can be in the office at 3, like, so my point of view is, if you're saying it's a 5-day job, you have to be in the office 5 days a week, and, you know, no one works remote, we don't have offices around the world that have to talk by video chat and all that stuff, I understand, but the fact that this job can be done remotely, obviously, because the contract says so, and, you know, the role says so, and everyone else that I've interviewed has been working at home, you know, like, I understand.
Just because the interview was at home when the interview doesn't mean that everyone's working from home.
Well, 9 out of 10 right? of them were. It's a very low probability.
Individuals where they were when they did the interview, so on. That almost becomes that. That's not a non-starting point, right? If you want me to go and double check, I will do. I'm happy to do that, right? I'm not saying no to that, but I'm just saying for you just to kind of remember this: we still haven't extended an offer.
I understand this being a formal offer.
We still haven't, and not just you, but anyone else would say that to us at this stage, right? To say, hey, you told me it's positive, or whatever. One of the individuals that I spoke to yesterday comes back to me today and says, for whatever, it doesn't matter what the reason is.
But it should matter, shouldn't it?
For the first few weeks and then see how we get on. I still will go and check that, but it doesn't mean that they've got an offer.
I understand, but
a lot of people do that at the beginning, right? If you'd done that at the beginning, right, we would say this exactly the same thing to you. Let us go and check. And if the answer is whatever it is, okay, no, we can be flexible, carry on. Or no, listen, we definitely need someone to be in the office. So it's not gonna work.
But if that was the case, I would never have a job, because every company like this, every role like this needs, like, advertises, like, they need people in office, even though, you know, the fact that people work remotely all the time, and obviously people do the same at Apple. And you know, I understand there's hardware units in the office, you know, I knew that was going to be part of it, obviously. I mean, obviously there's software emulators and whatnot, but, like, you know, I understand what you're saying. The problem is just that the narrative shift is just hard to take, you know, like, given the fact that, like, I just wish you would acknowledge the fact that my, like, you know, it's nothing to do with anything separate. Like, it's literally intrinsically to do. The reason that I literally cannot be in the office is to do with my disability, you know? Like, that is the exact reason. So, like, I would really like that communicating to the legal team or whoever's in charge of that, because, like, you know, like, you know, Apple says on the bottom of all the emails, you know, everyone's an individual, everyone has their own story, we don't discriminate against disability.
And we're not discriminating against you. We haven't extended an offer, Neil.
Okay, well, it feels like there's a massive shift in terms of how you're talking to me today.
It's not. I'm telling you, for this role to come into the office, we need the individual to come into for this role. We need the individuals to come into the office, right? You're unable to come to the office, right? At part of it, we're not even disclosed. Like I said, we're not even disclosing why you can't come to the office. Like, hey, is this an option for your team? And it's a hard look. Knowing exactly what they work on, it's a hard no, right?
Okay.
So,
like, if I was, like, saying, you know, an embedded engineer, I'm working directly, you know, soldering chips to boards or whatever, like, I understand, though, you know, but, like, a lot of the job is writing IK solvers and, you know, working on, you know, simulations and whatnot that I've been told about, you know. So, and the fact that, you know, I'm not even under NDA and I've been told a lot of information did kind of make me feel like I was very close to being an offer, because obviously you don't go and tell candidates this type of information if they're not going to be, you know, taking an offer. So, it's a shock to me, as you can imagine. You know, I'm not trying to be hostile. It's just a, you know, I've had a lot of problems in my life where, you know, like I've lost out abilities to do stuff and take good jobs, you know, because of my situation. And this is just going to be another brick in the wall, if you can understand.
I can sympathise with you, Niall. I hear you. I also have to follow what, you know, it's not me making a decision, right?
Okay.
I also have to follow what our policies are.
Okay. Please, can you just...
I want to come back to the fact, very important things. We have yet to make a decision and offer you the position,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not against you regarding your disabilities or anything like that. It is purely based on that we need individuals to come to the office.
Yeah.
Right. And that would be the same for anyone. And if someone's reason is for similar to yours, or if someone's reason is that, hey, I just need to, you know, babysit, dog sit, whatever it needs to be, the reasoning being is that, hey, if you wanna proceed to be considered to essentially be making an offer on, we need individuals to be in the office, which is why we cover these questions before we make a final decision on individuals.
Well, no one asked
on
me.
Or on anyone else for us to extend an offer and then say, by the way, and then for you to turn around and say, hey, I can't come in, or for whoever, and for us to say, no, we definitely need you, and you know, this is why we check it beforehand.
But no, I understand. But first of all, no one asked me about that, and like I said, all the interviews were done remotely. And can, like, you know, like I find it a little bit offensive that you kind of compare my situation to someone who wants to sit at home and dog sit. You know,
I'm just saying everyone has various different reasons. Some medical, some disability, okay. Some for whatever reason.
And mine is disability. So please, can that be relayed back to whoever is in charge of making these decisions? That's all I'm asking. Like, I didn't disclose my disability because, like I said, I don't wear it around my neck. It's not something that I'm happy to disclose to people. Obviously, I have no legal obligation to do so either. I have disclosed it now, obviously, and you know, I'm sure that you'll be treating it as sensitive information. You know, obviously, Apple is well known for data privacy and whatnot. I would just like it now that I have disclosed it, to be relayed to the people who, you know, have made this decision, just so they can see that, you know, it's not because I don't want to come to the office, or I want to sit at home and dog sit or babysit.
If you want us to relate, like, I haven't disclosed it, right? Because, like I said, it's not my business to disclose that,
mm-hmm.
right? It's your right. Even though you've shared that information with me willingly, and I understand, I've not shared
mm-hmm.
in terms of what it might be. It's not, because it's not for me to do so, right?
Oh, I understand.
It's not, you know, like you just said, we're not making a decision based on someone's disability, and that's not right for us to do, because everyone is equal. The communication is that not being able to come to the office, right? Simple as that.
I am able to possibly come to the office, like, with support, you know. Like, obviously, yesterday when I first spoke to you, like, I didn't know that was going to be possible, but that there is some, like, you know, as embarrassing as it is for me as a 27-year-old man to say this, you know, that, you know, I can have a care worker come with me initially, or, you know, and they won't even need to be in the office, they could just be nearby, you know, in London or whatnot. And, you know, if that's what it takes to do for the first week, or the first 2 weeks, or even a month, I'll just pay that myself, because, you know, like, this job means so much to me. You know, like, you know, I feel like I've put so much effort into this process, and granted, you know, you guys have too, obviously, with the interviews and that. And, you know, it's a massive opportunity. I just, you know, don't want to lose, to be honest, if that makes sense. You know?
I understand that, but can I just, you know, can I just be clear that we haven't even made a decision that we want to offer you yet. So it's not a case that, hey,
okay,
we're extending an offer.
No, I understand that.
Trying to figure out a solution. It's not even that yet.
Right. No, I understand that. And like I said, I don't have an offer.
If they do decide, hey, we would want to move to offer, right? And you want us to relay that message, absolutely, I can do, right? To see what possibilities are there. But we haven't extended an offer.
Okay, no, I understand that. But, like, you know, obviously you said to me yesterday, I wouldn't be speaking to Norman. I mean, your exact words to me yesterday were, you wouldn't be speaking to Norman if we weren't close to making an offer. You know, that's what
exactly,
you said to me.
But you're not the only person who's spoken to Norman.
No, absolutely. I understand that.
Right?
But what
so
I'm saying...
The conversation that I had with you, I had that multiple times yesterday.
But
other individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. And just now it feels today like it's kind of more on, you know, like distancing yourself from the offer, which, you know, I
I'm not
understand.
distancing anything, Matt. Let's be honest. I'm not distancing anything.
I
Right?
understand it's a policy.
Your feedback is positive. That hasn't changed since yesterday. Have we made an official offer to you? No, we have not. Did we discuss yesterday that we're still waiting on final decisions to come in? Yes, I said that yesterday, right? And that still remains the same. The situation was one of the I brought up the fact that we need you in the office, right? Because it is a requirement. It wasn't that you came out. That's why I said, well, okay, you live in Middlesbrough, space is in London. Are you going to be relocating? Because we need you in the office because it's a requirement. And that's the same with other individuals, whether they live in London, whether they live in Spain, wherever they may be, whether they're in the US, regardless, right? So that's where that is. And you know, this role is open to both locations, and there are a lot of candidates, right, that we're trying to cover and see what the best fit would be. We have limited headcounts. It's not the case that, you know, if we have two, three, four good candidates at final stage, then we're going to offer them all. That's not the case.
Oh, no. I mean, I understand, you know. I mean, I saw Ahmed posted, you know, another job posting for the San Francisco office. So I understand that, you know, it's probably multiple roles maybe for this position. And, you know, I understand you probably got other candidates. And like me raising these issues, you know, obviously doesn't look good for me, but I just feel like I have to advocate for myself because, you know, like I want to make clear that the exact reason I can't come down is to do with disability. And I feel like that needs to be portrayed. You know, it's not a separate issue. It's not like, you know, and I understand from a legal point of view, it makes more sense to separate me from the disability. But it's you know, I mean, like, you know, as Apple says, you know, everyone's individual. Everyone has their own story.
I understand that, right? And what I'm saying to you is that we are yet to make. So what you're asking me to do, what you're asking me to do, is to say, don't pull the offer because of my disability. In short, right? And what I'm saying to you is that we've not made an offer to pull it.
Okay, well.
But if you'd still like this information to be relayed before that final decision is made, your call. I can do it for you.
I mean,
Absolutely happy to do that.
yeah, it's just that, you know, you call me and you started off by saying it's not going to happen. So, and now you're saying the final decision hasn't been made, so I'm just a bit confused.
No, I still don't be confused, right? I want to be very crystal clear here. When I called you at the beginning, I didn't. When I said it's not going to happen, is that what they've told me is that we need people to be in the office. So it's not going to happen. The fact that people don't come into the office. That I haven't changed that. So please, like I'm genuinely trying to be honest here, and I'm not trying to lead you or cover anything up. And I'm being very direct and forefront. And I hope that comes across. I'm not trying to change the story. I'm not trying to backtrack on anything. I'm trying to keep it absolutely factual.
No.
The facts are. So did you say no?
No, sorry, no. I'm saying no. Like, I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying it does. You know, like, and, you know, you obviously sound like a nice guy. I'm not trying to be hostile. I'm just saying that how you kind of approached the call yesterday versus today, just like since disclosing that information, you know. And obviously, I understand. I'm not saying like, and I'm sorry. I'm saying this that you explicitly, you know, that I've got a paper offer because obviously I don't have an email of a contract or anything. But what I'm saying is that there was obviously many signs that it was very close. You know, the information I've been told, the fact
And it
that.
still is like it, that hasn't changed. We're not saying that suddenly, hey, by the way, we've decided
Okay,
you're
well,
not
I
going to
got the
have one to
impression
do.
from the start of this
What we're
call that,
saying
that you
is
were.
that you are still you at the latter stage, but before we make those final decisions, these are the set of qualifications that we do for every single role to make sure that the individuals are A, interested in the role. What kind of relocation or visa they need if we extend an offer? Are they able to come to the office if we extend an offer? It doesn't mean that they're definitely getting an offer.
Okay, can I also just disclose as well that I have been working with a psychiatrist who is based in London, you know, and that I have actually seen him in London this year. You know, I've been starting to come to London more, like more and more, and you know, like I would, you know, like I say, if it's possible, just to have some leeway initially. You know, I'm hoping that I would be able to be in London permanently. You know, that is my aim. You know, like I say, like and you know, like. I would go out and say that I would hope it would be at the end of this year, by the end of this year at the latest, you know, because, you know, for me personally, I can't actually cope like much longer being like locked up in a house, you know, like, you know, I mean, I've worked remote in every previous job that I've done, basically, apart from when I was at ILM. I did some days in the office, You know, like, so, you know, it's a big deal for me. And like I say, I'm sorry if this comes across hostile. I just want to get my points across. And you know, again, I'm not accusing you explicitly of discrimination, but what I'm saying is that having a blanket policy that indirectly affects people who do have disabilities like myself, you know, does feel unfair. You know, again, I'm sorry if it came across like I'm blaming you directly. I know you don't write these policies, so that's why I'm saying, please, can you just, like, you know, you have my
I
permission.
absolutely will. No. Let me be. I cannot sympathize with you more, right? I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. If I was on the opposite side, right, I would feel exactly the same way, and I'd be doing exactly the same thing. So I'm not holding this against you. Just on a human level, right? I hear you. I get you, right? I understand. I want to see what we can do, but what I'm saying, and again, I'm not saying this to kind of give you a politician's answer, right? I'm saying this because these are the facts. We have yet to extend an offer,
No,
right?
I
And until we do that, and until we've gone through that to say, hey, now we're pulling it because of a disability and so on, then I get it, but we haven't yet done that, right? We haven't made that decision. But absolutely, I hear you, right? I will happily go back. Right, it doesn't cost me much, doesn't cost me anything to go back and re-emphasize the point. And if you want me to at this stage share that, right, I can do. But again, sharing that, right, and I just want to be very clear, sharing that information is still separate to making a final decision, right? That although you can disclose it, and again, if you look at it, if you look at it in plain, in kind of simple terms, sharing that information and then making a decision is still completely different to see who the best candidate is for the role. Even if someone says, absolutely, we can do full remote, right? And there's still three candidates, four candidates, whatever many candidates, individuals at that stage, they will still pick people based on ability, who they think is the best fit for the role. And we haven't got to that stage, right? So but another thing that I want to just kind of just purely because I feel for you, right? The other thing I just want to re-emphasize what I said to you yesterday. This doesn't necessarily, and I just said to you today, just because you don't get a position at, when you get this far in Apple, you don't get a position, doesn't mean it's the end of the road. Right? There'll be other positions, there'll be other opportunities. There are multiple reasons why people sometimes get to this stage and they're not selected. Right, it doesn't mean that we shut them out for future operation opportunities. Some of that may be because they've got really far, they were just pipped to the post, a really good candidate, and in 3 6 months' time, we go back to them with similar roles and we say, hey, you did really well, get that job, but we think we now have a headcount to do this. Would you like to come on board? Or it might be vice versa, it might be a different reason they couldn't take the job at the time because maybe they weren't able to relocate, right, from a different country. Maybe something came up in their personal circumstances that they couldn't adhere to. That's fine. It happens. It's part of life. But 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line, they're able to do that. Then they reach back out and say, hey, I'm now able to do X, Y, and Z for a bit good reason, right? I'm not just saying just about relocation, but whatever it may be. I'm now able to take on the role or have the whatever capability to do. And we look at what we have available at that stage, right? And that's, and I want to just re-emphasize and just remember that point as well, right? But just to recap, right? Just things that you might be. Are you happy for me to go and have that conversation again? I'm happy to do it if that's something that you want me to do, and it's and it gives you, if you want me to do that, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible even that I could just write, like, you know, like a an email that, you know, like could be forwarded directly, you know? I mean, obviously I'm happy for you to disclose what I've told you know, about my, you know, multiple conditions and whatnot and how they affect me, but, like, I mean, if it might mean more if it comes directly from me, you know, if that's possible, I don't know.
That's your call, man. If you want to send that to me, feel free to send it. Again, I'm not sure what stake it would play because, like I said, just to be very clear, they've yet to make that decision.
No, I understand, and I'm not trying to say that, like I said, that, you know, I had an offer, but it, you know, and you know, I understand that you're saying, like, there's other people now, you know, that I wasn't, you didn't tell me that yesterday and stuff. Obviously, I wasn't aware of that until today. I assume there might be other candidates because, you know, that's typical in the job hiring process. Like, yeah, I mean, I just, it's just a shame to kind of go from, like, you know, I literally was so excited when, you know, you said about, you know, that it was going to be today or tomorrow, and then, like, you know, and then I had to disclose this. Obviously, I couldn't lie to you. I couldn't say, you know, like, you know, and this is general advice for disabled people that, you know, you don't need to disclose your disability until you have an offer, really. And that, you know, that's because, sadly, in this world, you know, there is bias and discrimination. Some of it's not deliberate, some of it's just ignorance, you know, and I don't mean like deliberate ignorance. And
I understand that, but you know, if we're extending an offer for it to be home based, right, and then you disclose it, then there's a different, doesn't necessarily mean that we wouldn't go down the same route, right? But I hear you. So most that's fine. Look, let's just keep it simple on things that we can control. If you want me to go have that conversation, I'll go away and do it. In other terms, in terms of they're yet to make a decision, right? So it might be the decision's just not, was always going to be, you know, regardless of whether you ever come to the office or not,
No,
right?
I understand that, and that kind of, see, that's the part that I just want to like emphasize a bit, that's the part that kind of feels bad, because like this was never pointed out to me yesterday that, you know, those other candidates and you might not get the job because, you know, of other reasons. You know, it was, you know, it sounded very, very positive, and then since the disclosure, now it's kind of like, oh, you know, there's other candidates, you might not get the job for some other reason. And obviously from a legal standpoint, saying that I didn't get the job because of skill wise, you know, is obviously, you know, the logical step. Like, and the reason I am so concerned about this is because, you know, this is not the first time this has happened to me. Like I say, you know, I've lost countless opportunities, amazing job offers in the past year even because of this very situation. And you know, I'd hope that Apple would look at the whole picture. You know, I've been told all along, thank you for telling me about your autism, you know, thank you for telling me about your situation. You know, everyone's individual, we look at everyone's circumstances. But then, you know, obviously the policy that you've told me about today is that it's a blanket statement, you know, it applies to everyone regardless, blah blah blah. That kind of goes completely counter to the point of individuality and individual circumstances. So that's why I feel like if I directly portray my disability and why that's the reason, you know, and I'll forward you this email in a minute, then, you know, like I want to get the point across, you know, like, because, you know, again, I'm not saying that you're trying to mislead me or lie to me, but it feels like there's been a big shift since I've disclosed this, and that is the very reason why I was concerned about disclosing it in the first place. Again, you know, you did say this job was in London, and I understand it was. My aim is to be in London, and my aim when I applied in February originally was that I was going to be in London by the summer. Obviously, my disabilities are, you know, are bad at the minute. My conditions are bad, but you know, I do hope that I can get down to the office, you know, like for, you know, the induction and the first month or whatever it takes. You know, I'll just pay whatever it takes to help someone get me down to the office, because, you know, like, and I feel like the honesty that I'd give you and my promise to do that, I hope that kind of comes across as my, you know, commitment to this role, you know, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and I hear you.
But yeah, I don't want to waste any more of your time, so I appreciate your time.
Yeah, let me go have a conversation, see what can come back.
All right, thank you very much, Rad.
Thanks, Tom. Take
Thanks.
care.
Bye. I just like I knew this was going to happen. I actually wrote this in my notes as soon as the call ended yesterday. I knew this was going to happen. You know, it literally started. I mean, like, he told me, you know, very positive. Oh, you know, we're very excited. You still want the job? Still, blah blah blah. And like, it was.